From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready. Neil in the Clark Ford studio. We'll tell you about them in a second. First, though, we'll tell you about the Oxford Exxon because it's Super Bowl Sunday here in a couple days, and they've got ribs waiting on you, wet or dry, there at the Oxford Exxon. Two slabs for $22, three slabs for $30, as I'll mention with Jeffrey here in a little bit as he makes his weekly appearance on the Oxford Exxon Podcast. He and I have done the ribs a couple Super Bowl Sundays during the last few years of our friendship, and a good deal you should take part of here soon with the Oxford Exxon. Oxford Crystal got wings and more. The Oxford Exxon got craft beer. So you get it all accomplished there on Highway 6 West in Oxford. Also saw another thing with it this morning. Getting close, February 3rd, Jamie Lynn Spears, the Hometown Sessions concert there in Macomb. You can get tickets through Eventbrite or hometownsessions.com. And again, I'll let Neil tell you a little bit about Clark Ford in Amory.
Indeed, 662-257-1900 is the number. You call that number. You ask for Corey Clark. It's February the 1st. Corey might be a little grumpy. The annual February resolution begins today, so you might be able to take advantage of that. You can take that into your strategy. But here's the real deal with Corey. There is no haggling. There's not a lot of strategy. It's right to the bottom line. He just offers you the best deal you're going to get. Then you get a quote within 15 minutes. You can shop it around if you'd like, or you can go ahead and let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many other listeners of our podcast, and that's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience, make the deal even better. Towards the end of your deal, say, hey, Corey, I heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. You can mention any of our family of podcasts. $500 off your bottom line from Clark Ford in Amory.
I was going to talk about something else in the beginning, and I'm going to do that in a second, but I just saw this run across Twitter this morning at 8 o'clock, Bleacher Report, with this story. The tweet, Mark Appel was supposed to be the Astros' rebuild centerpiece when they drafted him number one in 2013. Instead, he watched them win the World Series without him as the Phillies DFA'd him. Now, he's leaving the game behind. He's leaving the game behind for now, my story from Houston. Really, a profile on Appel is, barring something crazy, he is going to be the third ever number one pick to never reach the major leagues, along with Brian Taylor in 91 and Steve Chilko in 1966.
Yeah, and Taylor had an injury. I don't remember the guy in 66, thank God. I'm a Cubs fan. I can't help it. I can't tell you how many times I've thought, man, we got so lucky. Because if the Astros take Chris Bryant, the Cubs take Mark Appel, and all of this stuff doesn't happen. There is a degree of luck in life. When people tell you that it's all whatever, no. Every single championship anyone has ever won, ever, includes some element of luck that was outside of their control.
It is fascinating because you always use the thing about the ball Zobrist hit, easily double play, inning over, that whole deal when the Cubs win it. But this is before it even gets started, the entire thing would have been derailed because, no offense, Chris Bryant in another uniform, and that pitch doesn't happen.
Oh, of course it doesn't. I was watching a debate on Twitter yesterday because my life is boring, and somebody was arguing about the top five Cubs of all time, and they were talking about Bryant belongs in there, and the guy was like, no, he doesn't because he hasn't played long enough. Did you know Chris Bryant already has a season that's better than any that Ryan Sandberg ever put up, and he has three seasons in the books, his only three seasons in the bigs, that would all three be among Ryan Sandberg's top five seasons?
Really?
And look, I love Ryan Sandberg. I wore number 23 in high school in every sport because of Ryan Sandberg. not Michael Jordan, Ryan Sandberg. Chris Bryant is so much better than Ryan Sandberg ever dreamed of being, and he's just getting started. And yes, if the Astros take Chris Bryant, the Cubs don't happen.
Now the Astros still win a World Series. That would have happened.
But... Well, they might have won two World Series.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Chris Bryant with Carlos Correa, Jose Altuve, and come on.
You would be hating you some Astros right now, boy. You'd have a voodoo doll up with some Astros on it.
I mean, Bryant and Correa on the left side, yeah, probably work.
Yeah. If I could get a switch just for my entertainment, it's Astros take Bryant and the Astros do not move and stay in the NL Central just to watch Neil. That'd be a...
Oh, I just, you know, and then the other guy in that draft, now he's pitching in the bigs and he's having some success, is Jonathan Gray. And I mean,
I remember when he played LSU that night and you were locked in.
There were all sorts of debate about Appel, Gray, and Bryant. Who do you take? Who do you take? Who do you take? And to this day, the Cubs people do not like to talk about what they would have done at number one had they been number one. And I fear it's that they would have taken Appel. And it just tells you that, again, it's people. And when you're evaluating human beings, you're not ever going – there's no 100%.
You couldn't have taken Jonathan Gray one.
No, he was too erratic.
Yeah.
I think they were locked in on Bryant. I think. But there are people that say they were locked in on Appel, and that's who they would have taken. So I don't know. We'll never know. And luckily for Theo Epstein, and luckily for people like me, it doesn't matter because there is a World Series title.
Yes.
And Chris Bryant was a really big part of it.
So we've made
also, before we move on, kudos to Major League Baseball. You're going to agree with me here.
Okay. I have no idea what you're talking about, so go ahead.
Well, I know that you feel the same way because you and I have sat in press boxes and watched balls spray into the crowd.
Okay.
Every major league team is expanding their netting to at least the far end of their dugouts.
I'd even go a little farther, but that's a good move.
And a lot of teams are going farther. But congratulations to Major League Baseball. They are protecting those fans. Awesome. Kudos. I hereby challenge all colleges to do it. I know it's expensive, but man, those balls that go spraying into the crowd, it is scary as hell.
There is no negative because as we've talked about, I sit down there a lot to watch pitchers. You see through the net within 5 seconds. Your literally, eyes adjust and it takes no time.
It literally takes 2 to 3 seconds.
Yeah. It is a transparent double netting thing that you see through.
Yes.
It's not a 1989 net.
No. No, so. I'm totally serious. I always criticize a lot of people. Kudos to Major League Baseball and all 30 clubs, even the Cardinals. Congratulations. You did it. You did the right thing. And it might have cost you some money. It's the right thing.
So we've been joking that we've had a bit of Groundhog Day, but it's the story right now. We're in basketball season. We're in a waiting game as far as what happens with Andy Kennedy, what happens with really that program overall right now, as it feels like it's entering some type of transition. Again, we don't know. I said feels like, just for clarification's sake. But it's a topic on the message board every single day. This morning, Rebel Taxman, one of our better posters, posted a thread. And he stayed very simple. There was not context put in. It was the base question, do you trust the Ole Miss administration? That was it. One question, one line. And it's something that Michael Thompson and I talked about on the podcast when he came on with us a few weeks ago. He admitted that there was a need to get that back. He outlined some different ways to get that back. To this point, though, do you trust the Ole Miss administration? Small sample size. I'm throwing in all these caveats. Small sample size. The number's not small, though. As of right now, when I click on it, 90.8% say they do not trust the Ole Miss administration. 9.2% saying they do trust the Ole Miss administration. Again, that poll up at rebelgrove.com as of 8:45 a.m. when I'm talking right now. This basketball hire, Neil, has a chance to swing, or sorry, this basketball decision, I don't want to say hire, Andy Kennedy's the coach, has a chance to swing that in whatever way, in a way that no one's going to be happy. I mean, this is where, if you just like decisions and implications and human nature and all kind of the psychobabble of sports and maybe business decisions, really, this is fascinating to me because you're not going to please everybody, but you have a large segment of this fan base that, as of this moment, has a discontent with the administration, does not trust them, feels like they're not being heard. What happens with this basketball thing moving forward on a sport that is number three on campus, is what is also fascinating about this, is going to change a tenor of what it means as far as the chasm that currently exists between the administration and the fan base?
Well, that's why I think they have to tread very carefully. I don't believe they can make a hire that feels like a good old boy hire. I don't think they can hire, if they make a decision to move on from Andy Kennedy, and I'm like you, I have no idea which way they're leaning.
Yeah, Andy might be here 9 more years. I don't know.
But if they do, I don't think they can hire Elston Turner. I don't. I don't know Elston Turner. I've never had a conversation with him. He has a very good reputation in the association, in the NBA. But he would be viewed as only a candidate because he went to Ole Miss. Probably fair. I don't think they can hire someone off of Kennedy's staff with Ole Miss ties, Raheem Lockhart, Todd Abernathy. I don't think they could do something like that and maintain the public trust. Here's where there's a lot here. Fairly or not, and Michael and others have tried to address this. And I don't know whether it's just no one wants to hear it, no one believes them. When I say no one, I'm being far too sweeping. If a majority of people don't want to hear it, don't believe them, are just angry, there is leftover anger and lots of it. Refrigerators full of leftover anger over the way the NCAA thing was handled.
Primarily that, more than anything else.
It's primarily that. There is a skepticism regarding the football search. Not that Matt got the job. Again, I'm always hesitant to do this because keeping it totally real, there are people in the media that like to go to these people and go, hey, man, you can't trust those guys. They're out to get you. They said this, they said that. And I get tired of dealing with it, frankly. But there's a perception that there was no national search because they ended up hiring a guy who in July was the offensive line coach on a staff that was not far from being an embattled staff. Now, that's not fair to Matt because Matt did a great job as the interim coach and he got the job, and all indications so far are that he's off to a really good start. That being said, there are people who say, well, if you were going to hire Matt Luke, why didn't you just hire Matt Luke in July? Why would you do the song and dance about a national search and then just hire the interim guy? And there are people that think, you know, if they lose to Mississippi State that night, that Luke doesn't get the job, or that Luke only got the job because some heavy hitters in and around Oxford called in favors and hit up the chancellor and made it happen. And people have had a hard time navigating around all of that. So the public trust is shaky. And this basketball thing, like you said, it's the third sport on campus. There's no question about that. Football is one. Baseball is a distant two. And then basketball, frankly, according to our survey numbers, is a pretty distant third from baseball. But people will watch it closely, and if they make a decision, I think it's imperative on them, Chase. It was a really long-winded answer as I kind of think through it. It's twofold. If they make a decision to move on from Andy Kennedy, it is imperative, I believe, that they move on from Andy in a clean, very respectful way, and then make a hire that has some splash to it.
Yeah, splash that can be sold in whatever that means. Something that is real from a, hey, this is the direction, this is the path, this is why we did this.
Something that draw, because listen, I'm tell people this, and it's because it's coming. Inside his profession, think what you want to think about Andy Kennedy and do what you want to do about media types, because yes, media like Andy. We like Andy. Everyone in the media likes Andy Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
He's frank. He's a great quote. He's accessible. He's human, and people like him. Forget that. Among his peers, he is really respected. His peers believe that he has achieved at a really high level at a difficult program. Whether that's true or not, whether you want to believe that as a fan or not about the program, is really not germane to what I'm saying. Among his peers, he is viewed as having done a really solid job at a difficult place to win. There will be criticism inside the profession if Ole Miss moves on from Andy Kennedy. That is going to happen. And so it's imperative, if Ole Miss makes that move, that they not only treat Andy incredibly respectfully in the process, but that they make a hire that people in the media and within the field say, that's pretty good hire now. That shows there's some vision there. It can't be a good old boy hire that gets lambasted, and it would. And this administration expect to continue to repair some of the damage that has been done in terms of its relationship with the fan base.
And then a fancy new building, but in a building that has really, really fancy ticket prices too, relative to what the fan base is used to, at least.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're expensive. There have been a couple of times that, you know, Lars wanted to take Carson and one of his friends to a game or whatever, and you get on StubHub or whatnot and Ticketmaster or wherever, and I mean, tickets are, they're not cheap.
Yeah. All right, we'll carry on in a second. We're going to go to Jeffrey, have his weekly conversation about some quarterback play. Not really Baker Mayfield. Only brings him up one time, talking about quarterbacks, Super Bowl, and some college basketball. Jeffrey got some interesting thoughts on the SEC in that regard as well. Before we do that, podcast brought to you in part by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape, 662-607-7773, mastercutslawn.com. You get a free quote when you call, and you get a free cut when you sign an annual contract and mention the podcast there with MasterCuts. So whether it's building that outdoor kitchen, the outdoor living area, the fence, the deck, or more, check them out. 662-607-7773.
Everybody knows State Farm for being the number one insurer in auto, home, and life insurance. But did you know State Farm has a bank which allows them to do auto financing? Recently, State Farm has had a rate reduction in their commercial insurance rates. Give Romero Miller State Farm a chance to compare your business insurance policies. If you own a rental property, he challenges you to give him a shot at that property. You won't be sorry. If you need another reason to give him a call, go to Google, read Romero Miller State Farm reviews. And then if you have insurance needs in Tennessee or Mississippi, call Romero Miller State Farm, 662-893-1212. The podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you are a business with a high ticket product or service, HVAC, dentist, surgeon, flooring, furniture, etc., Ben Brown and his team have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders with one very easy online application. With rates as low as 4.9%, terms that extend to 7 years, loan amounts up to $100,000, and credit scores down to 580, they will get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben Brown at 443-935-5013. Ben is waiving the setup fee for Oxford Exxon podcast listeners. That's a $500 savings, so call him today. The podcast also brought to you by Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates have three attorneys with more than 60 years of combined experience and more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website. It's msbnkr.com. or search for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Gambrell and Associates handle Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or in Oxford at 662-281-8800.
Now, Jeffrey Wright on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline. Jeffrey, welcome again on another Thursday morning here on the show. Super Bowl Sunday coming. I told people a little while ago they should check out the Oxford Exxon for the slabs of ribs. You get 2 for $22, you get 3 for $30 this Sunday. We've done that a time or two in the past.
We have, and while you're there, you might as well just take advantage of the fact that the Oxford Crystal is right there, too, because Crystal also has wings available, and you have the most diverse menu in the entirety of fast food.
You do. Craft beer at the Oxford Exxon. Really can't go wrong. So many different options there. But you and I were talking off air a second ago. I really don't want to talk a ton of Super Bowl here because I'm getting tired of it. At least for kind of our segment, what we follow, not a ton of storylines here. Philadelphia kind of boring to me. I feel like this is a small to moderate bet on the Patriots money line just to put yourself into some type of investment on Sunday. And other than that, just kind of eat, drink, and be merry.
Yeah, it's just such a – there's two ways to go about it. Like, I can – like, you look at the Pro Football Focus top, you know, they ranked every player 1 through 106 that's going to be rostered in the game. And 14 of the top 20 are on the Eagles. And I watched the Eagles all year, and I think the Eagles are a very good football team. But if you bet the Eagles and then you're down two scores in the fourth quarter, you're going to feel like an absolute moron. And you're right. Like, 4.5 points is also that weird. Like, you look at the Patriots. They've played in 7 Super Bowls. All 7 have been by 1 score. And so then you go, well, shouldn't you just take the points? It's like, well, if the line is 4.5 and the Pats win by 7, you feel like an idiot. And then if the Pats win by a field goal, you feel like an idiot. So I'm with you. It seems like the most reasonable play is probably Pats money line. And while that's not the biggest return on the investment that you could possibly have, I do agree with you. It's kind of like where the sound logic is.
What is your emotional investment in this game? Do you want New England to win just because that's comfortable, kind of like Alabama, and it keeps Philly from being able to tout a title? What is your head and your heart saying in this one?
I think the NFL is different than college. Hot take there. Okay. Heads up. But like, I do think that you can actually root for your divisional opponent to win because.
Ooh, ooh.
No, here, hang with me. Hang with me here.
Okay.
The Super Bowl hangover thing's real. Like, there's only one team that survives it, and it's the team that's there every year.
Okay. All right.
So, like, you look at, like, almost every other team that we've seen get there, they don't get back. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so I do think as a Giants fan, you can kind of root for the Eagles in that way. And so that, hey, perhaps they don't get back, and that's better for the Giants. And then on the flip side, I would also like the Eagles to win because it would also validate the point that I've been making for 2 years that I don't think Carson Wentz is that good. I don't also think Carson Wentz is bad, but we have this society, whether it be take makers or whether it just be fans, that don't watch games and they either A, just look at a box score or B, just watch highlights. No one watches a game from start to finish. Carson Wentz is not that good. Like, you look at every play he makes, a lot of them are plays where he really should have taken a sack, but because he's huge, and I don't take that away from him. I don't take it away from Big Ben either. But it's a lot of, like, the similar thing, except Big Ben completes more passes. But the big, like, he's a big, strong kid that doesn't go down. And so then you have these busted plays in the secondary, and he's firing to these wide open guys. Like, to me, that's not sustainable. And then you, like, look at his, like, you go in depth and you look at his passing numbers. Jace, he was like 60% completing, you know, and he was throwing the ball about 7 yards. Like, I just don't think he's, when people were talking about him being the MVP, it drove me insane because I wondered if people were watching games. And then I realized, no, they don't watch games.
That's why you and I were talking about this several weeks ago, and it's fascinating to me as we get closer and closer, because Carson Wentz, in my opinion, is one of the main reasons that Josh Allen is where he is on these draft boards, that there are some positives to him. If Wentz has not at least gained this type of public perception and had at least this type of season to this point and career to this point, Josh Allen's a second-round pick right now.
He might even be later than that. I mean, there's, you know what I mean? Like, he's a toolsy guy.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this. I think if Carson Wentz doesn't exist, I think Lamar Jackson's ahead of Josh Allen.
Ooh.
And this is kind of a point of contention between your brother and me. Your brother is very much on the train. He's not accurate enough. I'm more on the with Lamar Jackson.
Gotcha, yeah.
I'm more on the train that he's not consistent enough, because I do think he has shown the ability. He's shown the ability to be accurate when he actually is composed. And I just think that there's more potential with him than there is with Allen, in my opinion.
Buy or sell, better career than RG3.
Ooh, man. See, that's tough, because you really, like, you can't take away that flash in the pan moment for RG3 was pretty damn good.
Just a flash now.
Just a flash, but here's the better question. Would you rather have Kaepernick's career or RG3's career?
Oh, Cap. I won more.
I got to a Super Bowl, and
yeah.
I never really had surgery.
Yeah.
I'll say Lamar Jackson has a better career, because the difference between Lamar Jackson and RG3, Lamar Jackson, like, say what you want about Petrino and his personal preferences, but he does run a fairly sophisticated offense. Like, that offense was what the Falcons were running, but he puts his quarterback in the shotgun. I think that Lamar Jackson's going to be more NFL ready than RG3 was. I think there's less of a learning curve. And because of that, I don't think you'll have to, I don't think with Lamar Jackson, I don't think you're going to have to basically make him run the same offense that he ran in college in the pros against guys that are almost as fast as he is, except outweigh him by 50 pounds. I don't think he'll have to endure that.
So what's the right fit for him then, franchise-wise?
That's a good question, because, I mean, really the right fit is someone that the sad answer to that question is you have to have a franchise that believes in him as a quarterback. Like, the people that make the takes like, oh, he's a receiver, I don't see that at all personally. He's not quite as electric of a runner as Vic was, but he's a much, much better passer. He's much more polished as a passer than Vic was coming out of Virginia Tech. His numbers, and I get it, it's not apples to apples, but you look at his numbers this year, they're really similar to Eli's numbers, except you add about another 1,500 yards on the ground. But his passing numbers are very similar to Eli's his senior year.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that he's consistent. I don't know that he's going to be a starter, a great quarterback. But he's better than, like, Joe Webb. I see those comparisons, and I go, come on. Like, you know, let's not be stupid here a little bit. But anyway, I'm going to bounce all over the place.
Here's a fun one for you. Jacksonville.
You know, I don't hate that.
That's a good fit, I think.
I don't hate that. Big,
strong, physical offensive line. You've got a running back that can kind of help ease you into it. I'll tell you another one that makes sense and very similar, and I'm not just saying this because they've drafted a black quarterback before, but Minnesota. Same thing. You have enough of a support. Like, I think he has to come into a situation where, there's not pressure on him to be guy number one right off the bat. And it's kind of like with Deshaun Watson, like as stupid as the Texans were, it was better for him to come in, see that the game was a little more difficult and have a coaching staff pick Tom Savage to start in front of him, even though I'm sure Deshaun Watson's like, are you high?
Mm-hmm.
And to which apparently the answer was yes. But then I will at least give Bill O'Brien credit, at least at halftime of after two quarters of Tom Savage, he realized, okay, this is over. So, you know, like you look at those teams, but I just think that if you're a rookie quarterback whose knock right now is footwork, consistency, fundamentals, I think putting him in a spot that isn't going to have him drop back and throw the football on first, second, or I'm sorry, you know, drop back and basically throw it 50 times a game. Like, I think that's good because then the more and more you throw it, the more and more bad habits you develop. But at the same time, like, you know, I would say the same thing for like Allen. Like, Allen's got the same problems. Like, he's not fundamentally there. The take that bothers me the most are people that are saying like that Mayfield's not fundamentally sound. Like, I don't know what these people are watching. Like, his footwork is better than almost everyone, with the exception of probably Rosen's. I mean, if you're Lamar Jackson, you basically, like, what are the only spots that you don't want to go? Like, let's say, like, obviously you don't want to go to Cleveland. You know,
prototypical bad quarterback places. There's no extra variable just because you're Lamar Jackson.
You know what I thought would have been a good fit for him, but now it's probably not? Arizona would have been a good fit for him. But now I don't know anything about the new staff, the new regime.
Yeah, no, that's true. Take a break from our talk with Jeffrey to tell you the podcast brought to you in part by Tyson Drugs, TysonDrugs.com. They're in Holly Springs, 662-252-2321 is the number for great service, and they will deliver wherever you are. So you just give them a call. You fill out the forms there at Tyson Drugs, and they will call your doctor. They'll get everything done and then get it to you as fast as possible. They also now are operating G&M Pharmacy in Oxford. They've got local delivery, and you get those same great services there. So again, one more time, the number in Holly Springs, 662-252-2321.
Podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, Grenada Nissan is the place to go. Great service. It's convenient. It's just off Interstate 55 in Grenada, Mississippi. Great. All the 18s are there. Previously owned vehicles, great lease deals. I've used Grenada Nissan for as long as I can remember, really, and never regretted it at all. Nothing but great experiences there at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. If you're in the market for a home or a condominium here in the Oxford area, you need to check out Harry Alexander with REMAX Legacy Realty Agent. Go to his sites, harryalexander.com. Click on the top on the properties and neighborhoods tab at the top left. Filter through by what you're looking for. And then the results that you get, they're updated daily. And the rest is leave it to Harry. Send him an email, ha@harryalexander.com. He'll make sure that you get a deal on a home or condominium that you're happy with now and years down the road. Now back to our interview with Jeffrey Wright on the Oxford Exxon podcast.
I want to talk basketball a little bit. We got a couple questions here. I was going to ask Neil this, but I'll ask you too. You watch more basketball college level than he or I together. State wins last night, South Carolina. And they're not good, but they're not bad either. They're very, very average, kind of in that tier with Ole Miss and some in a way. Ben Howland, this is typically the year where he explodes at other programs. Did it at UCLA, did it at different places. Not really happening at State. They recruited better. The roster kind of is what it is. Is Ole Miss, and now look, they've got a lot many of their own problems, but I'm still asking this in a bit of a bubble. Are they benefiting by the fact that Howland is just kind of mediocre? Is Howland going to get a lot better there at some point? Or is this just kind of a deal where he's winning just enough to hang on and not really be a threat in a much improving SEC?
I don't think they're benefiting.
Because they can't out-recruit him in the state, right?
Right. Well, for two reasons. Number one, I don't know, you know, I can be told every political reason. I can be told every semantic reason you can possibly give. The truth is, you know, Ole Miss does not have the ability to get the best players in its own state. And it's the only sport that they can't do it. So you're telling me these issues that exist only in basketball don't exist in football? Like, So I don't know how you overcome those issues, but like that's not what I'm paid to figure out. That's what those guys are paid to figure out. And I'm not saying like, hey, you got to, you know, you got to build a fence around the entire state and get every single kid. But you can't get in on any of the good kids. Like, why is that? Someone needs to address that need. And number two, like we saw, I think we've seen this year thus far, like, I think a lot of us coming into the year would have said Bruce Pearl has kind of maybe, I guess, shown true colors or shown that jobs are hard and that you just can't, you know, even if you're getting players, like at a certain point you have to produce. It's like, well, he kind of proved this year that if you keep getting players and you keep stockpiling talent and you're able to put it together one year, like that could be the end. You know what I mean? Like if you're Ole Miss and you're, if you're Ole Miss and even no matter how much you no matter how much you deny that it's a fact, but you are constantly at least aware of Mississippi State's positioning. If you've got Mississippi State on the up and it appears that you're on the down, like I just don't see that being something that's survivable.
You said not your job to figure it out, not my job to figure it out, but I'm just curious. Hypothetically, Andy Kennedy, if he's out at the end of the season, if you're Ross Bjork, what's the direction? Is it the build a program from the ground up? Is it the NBA guy? Is it the, hey, AAU kind of sleaster? What do? They put the keys in your hands.
See, this is why I think it's the most interesting year to be in the position that Ole Miss is in, because I don't personally think this FBI thing's over. I think we're going to start seeing as the legal process starts taking shape, we're going to start seeing a lot of these guys talk, and there's going to be more and more names that are going to kind of trickle down. And I think that those people, to avoid, you know, 40 something years in jail, are going to then talk. And so it's a situation where, you know, okay, maybe you say you go and get the elite recruiter, if you will. You know, what happens if this investigation develops significantly in the next 12 to 18 months and a guy that maybe didn't have a sniff of NCAA concerns and issues, but, you know, maybe there are always the rumblings of, oh, yeah, you know, this guy, you know how he does it, right? Well, what if that guy all of a sudden starts to get implicated in this? And, then you have egg on your face. Like, for all of Andy Kennedy's flaws and for all the knocks on him, let's get down to, like, the basics of it, man. Like, he's been there, this is year 11, correct?
Yeah, 11 or 12, one or the other.
So for the sake of the argument, let's say in 11 years, he had the one incident in Cincinnati. And then other than that, there's been no NCAA problems. There's been no real legal problems with kids. And if there had been a legal problem, it was addressed immediately. You know, like, all the things that you want a program to do, it kind of does it. And I think the sad reality for him is, if anyone ever's like wondered, okay, like what's the ceiling if you run a program cleanly, it's kind of what Andy Kennedy's been in 11 years. You can get very bubble-ish, and if you get the right scorer and maybe like the right combination of post guys, you can probably get to the tournament. That's kind of it, man. Like, it's just, like, you know, it's somewhere in that 20 to 22 win range, and then you're just kind of bubbly, and you're hoping that you're on the right side of the bubble in a year.
So, here's the thing, and I'm not saying right, wrong, indifference. This is just reality. There's three ways to gain capital with your athletic director, and I think Andy Kennedy did this from a Ross Bjork strictly athletic director standpoint. It's A, win enough games to be on a national stage. Hasn't really done that, so that's not one. There are two, though. It's don't be an embarrassment where we lose so many games. There's a problem. He definitely right. Doesn't do that. They don't bottom out. And number three, something he and Mike Bianco have both done very well, when Ross Bjork goes to sleep at night, he doesn't worry about the program. Like you said, it's in safe hands. He's not expecting a call at 3 a.m. where some scandal has happened. There is a comfort in the ability to know that everything is probably okay over in the TUI Center.
Yes, and so, and unfortunately for Andy, that kind of builds frustration in your fan base when people don't really understand the nuances and like what goes into actually making the tournament and whatnot. And they just see the results, and that's fine because I, you know, you and I are on the same page. Hey, it's the scoreboard business. And you know, if you're saying that this is the standard and he's not meeting the standard, that's your prerogative. And by all means, go ahead. But who are you going to hire? Because, a lot of these names that I keep seeing thrown around, like take, for instance, Eric Musselman's a name that you and I have heard a lot.
Yep.
Okay, Mark Fox, how do you do it in Nevada?
Well, obviously, because he wouldn't be where he is without that, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Mark Fox is kind of showing that the Georgia job and the Ole Miss job are very similar. Like Mark Fox has Georgia kind of at the exact same spot every single year. And, you know, now his fan base is getting, you know, frustrated and whatnot. And it's like when people throw out Musselman, it's like we've seen that you can win pretty nicely at Nevada. Like Trent Johnson won there. Mark Fox won there. Like, and then we see them go to the more difficult jobs that have maybe a higher ceiling, perhaps. But the truth is, they're in much more competitive environments.
It's been 10 years. The one positive to Musselman is he at least has some NBA presence, but it was a decade ago.
Right. And like, it's just, I don't know. Like, but you see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
There's no guarantee that you just go get a guy like Eric Musselman and then he's just going to start winning.
Oh, there's no guarantee on anything. I mean, you know, you got to change a whole system here. So I've got about 5 minutes with you. We've talked about this before. You have warned me about it. I am trying not to, but we're going to have bracket talk as March gets closer. Last night, they went again, I think, 22-1, 9-0 in the league. I am itching to buy Virginia, but I'm still holding off. But I'm beginning to move toward the other side.
I just think Virginia is the new Gonzaga. You know what I mean? Like the newer, better Gonzaga. And I say that being, though I'm supposed to be sworn to hate that university because of my deep, deep Pepperdine ties. Like, I just think that until they kind of commit to being a little more dynamic on offense, that it's going to be difficult. Here's the one thing, though, that is interesting about this year. For instance, let's look at the team that has been the most consistent and has pretty much from day one this year been the best team, and that's Villanova. Villanova shoots a ton of threes, and while they have all five of their starters are all like super high quality, and that's what allows them to be such a good team. Like, I don't know how many guys are NBA guys, but every guy is that Villanova team is built exactly like those last couple of Billy Donovan teams at Florida that were like Elite Eights, and I think one went to the Final Four. Remember those teams that there weren't like NBA guys on that team, but every single guy was like, you know, a solid eight in college basketball. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I gotcha.
So that's kind of how Villanova's built. But they're so dependent on the three ball that if they have that day where they don't shoot well, and then, you know, maybe you come up against a team that does, that kind of plays similarly and fires a bunch of threes, you know, and then maybe we get to have a typical Villanova. Like, it is always great, like, when Villanova gets bounced in the first weekend and we get to fall back on lazy takes. Love that. It's the best. I wonder if, like, a team like Virginia, maybe that's the answer to being so volatile and so dependent on the three. It's like, well, if you don't score more than 50 points, like, doesn't really matter if you have a good or bad shooting day.
Last thing. Auburn, they're
buying them, by the way.
Yeah, right now, we'll see.
As a Final Four team.
Oh well, no, just to. I'm gonna buy them as an. Right now, I'm gonna say they win a Sweet 16 game. That's why I'm buying them right now.
So when I think of Virginia, what I kind of think is it's like I can see them getting to that Elite Eight game for like five times in like 8 years.
Yeah, I'm not going to criticize the program, though, for losing an Elite Eight game. That is what it is. That's what I'm saying.
But my deal is, first off, that is a remarkable program. to do that, you tip your cap to them. Like, I'm not knocking them on that. It's like whenever anyone would say, like, Gonzaga would fall, I don't fall into that trap, but, like, you saw what it took for Gonzaga to actually get to the Final Four, get to the championship game. They'd have two NBA guys.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. So, last thing, Auburn 20-2 now. They beat Ole Miss in the Pavilion the other night. Jay Tate was on the podcast saying, well, you know, if they had Austin Wiley, they might not be as good because of this reason and this reason. I still think not having your two best players is a problem, no matter how well they're playing right now. On a buy-sell thing, am I right in saying that I'm completely selling them if they've got to run, say they get a three, and they've got to run through a East Tennessee State, a Northern Iowa, something along that lines in the first round, and then maybe in a second round, I don't know the seed, but say, like, you know, what a healthy SMU would look like or something like that. I just don't see Auburn getting through that first weekend.
Is there a team right now? Like, here's the thing. Like, you were mentioning kind of when you were discussing Mississippi State. Like, to me, like, you look at the SEC, there's no team that truly stinks in the SEC. Like, every single team, if they play well on a certain game day, they are capable of winning the game. Like, we look even like a team like Vanderbilt, whose record is terrible. Like, Vanderbilt's not like a, like, we've seen like some like those Rick Ray teams that were like had 8 wins. Like, those teams sucked. This Vanderbilt team like doesn't suck. They've just had kind of they've scheduled well, and you know, they've lost a bunch of games mainly because of schedule. Is there a team in the SEC right now that you buy going into the tournament?
Buy them in what way?
Them in that they get to the second weekend.
Is there
a team that you would be willing to put $1,000 down and say, this team's going to make the second weekend?
No.
Like, that's kind of the issue. It's like, I think the SEC,
I mean, look, multiple ones probably will, but yeah, I would hate to have to pick it.
But, like, and it all comes down to the point that you're making. It's like, okay, well, then for you to make that bet, you're like, I need to see what the matchups are. Like, I need to see, like, okay, well, you know, if this team wins the first game, and who would they play in the second? Like, there's just, like, each, in my opinion, the SEC has done a good job of minimizing, like, warts. But I still feel like almost every single SEC team is flawed.
Yeah, no, they just got the ugly ones out of there. That's all they did.
Yes, exactly.
That's it. They picked up the bottom of the barrel. So, anyway, what's on the Calkins show for those who would like to hear the podcast later?
So, today we're going to have a Steve White making his Super Bowl pick, and then Ken Rogers, the director of the 30 for 30, the two Bills, join the program. Again, that show premieres tonight, February 1st. So, if you're listening on a Friday, that show is already out. You can go watch it on the Watch ESPN out. I've seen it already. I got the screener. It is. I watched it with my brother last night. It's fantastic. Like, it is. If you like football, if you like the dynamic, like, it's a very cool interpersonal story about two of probably the most famous coaches that have probably ever lived.
What hour is he on for those who would like to catch it?
So, if you want to catch him live, he will be on at 10:25 Central Time this morning.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Appreciate it, man.
Thanks to Jeffrey for always giving us a few minutes prior to his duties with the Jeff Calkins Show. The podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga, the leader in condo financing in Oxford. Also, all underwriting and processing is in Memphis. You can local underwriting that understands your market. I've been using them for a long time, will with any future purchases as well. And you get the float down option, which allows you to lock in the rate, but if rates goes down, you do get that lower rate, 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
Rebel Nation, 2018 is the year of the fan. Ole Miss Athletics wants to showcase your stories and recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base. Exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year will be featured on omyearofthefan.com and updated often, so be sure to visit omyearofthefan.com. The Ole Miss women's team are at home tonight. They entertain Vanderbilt. Tip is at 6 p.m. The men are at Tennessee on Saturday afternoon in Knoxville. The podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB is locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa. And with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. With Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
So, found this interesting yesterday. Don't know exactly what to make of it. You and I both saw the, I think I called it a kerfuffle a minute ago, on Radio Row in Minneapolis yesterday as a couple of Houston area shows got into it, basically on air. A lot of other people took videos. WEEI was the main video that made it to the internet. They were perched next to them on Radio Row. And it's kind of a spectacle where when that thing got over, Neil, I think the two had been kind of going at each other in Houston for a long time. Almost makes me think the entire thing was planned to give everybody a little more rating.
Well, there are some people that say the whole thing was absolutely pre-planned.
Yeah. It's a fun watch, if nothing else.
It didn't look pre-planned.
The dude in the black shirt looked fairly pissed off.
Yeah. Two stations have gone at each other. Look, when you compete with people...
gets a little testy at times.
It can get a little testy. You're competing. Radio is competitive. The ratings come out, and I did 6 years of radio. When your ratings are good, you don't hear jack from management. When your ratings dip, it's all you hear about from management. Both of them have seen a ratings dip. They're both getting yelled at by management. Astros won the World Series. How come our ratings aren't better? The competition for the listener is harder and harder and harder because, frankly, podcasts like ours, it's difficult. So they're all tense. They're up there in freaking Minneapolis for reasons beyond my comprehension because I don't think the Texans are playing in the game on Sunday. I guess maybe it's possible that they play. I don't think that's going to happen. I heard the Patriots won the AFC.
Essentially, they go up there hoping they can get intriguing guests over the course of the week. That's the purpose, whether that's feasible or not. That is the reason.
And so what happens is it's like SEC media days on so much steroids because a guest walks into that area and they do 20 shows in an hour, and they're doing the same 7-minute interview over and over and over, and they're sponsored by Dove or Safeguard or some car dealer. They have to get that into the interview. It ends up being hideous radio, and everybody's stressed out, and it's loud, and it just it's not a very good. It's a great idea in principle, and then in reality, in fruition, it's not. And so I think tempers are on edge, and that got kind of weird.
it did. I don't know. I understand completely how those things happen if it was completely real. Put it that way.
Yeah.
It's a social media age, too. Somebody's always going to be there with a camera, and it you know. Because I mean, at least one of them was on air at the time. He was literally talking into his headset while this was happening.
So yeah, and the guy's holding the phone. I'm sure they've talked about this by now. Like the scene from The Anchorman when the TV stations have their duel.
Yeah,
It was kind of like that.
Yeah, Brick killed a guy.
You should go hide for a while.
Speaking of, I want to get your thoughts on this list as we get close to wrapping up today's show. Bleach Report. By the way, I read some of that story on Mark Appel. Fabulous story. You should read it if you have any interest there at all. Really good to Bleach Report.
Oh, it's on my list.
Okay. The Big Lead did a ranking of the top five daily national radio shows over the last year, basically since the last Super Bowl to this Super Bowl. What are the top five national daily radio shows? You listen to a lot of radio still, nationally.
Yeah.
Curious at this list, because for the most part, I kind of agree with it. I think they did a pretty good job for different reasons. Okay. Number five, the Dan Patrick Show. He's always going to be on the list. He's fabulous. He gets better guests than anybody in the country.
And he's a great interviewer.
He is.
Yeah.
He's good. So good there. If anything, he's too low, but fine. This is the one that, because he's so whatever, everybody's going to go crazy here. I agree with it. Number four, Clay Travis. I give him credit because he keeps a volatile following, and he talks about topics that no one else talks about. Whether that's Fox giving him the reins to do that, whether, as you talk about, the ratings are good enough that the ad people just don't give a crap right now, or it's what. For whatever reason, though, there is some fortitude there from people to let him take on the topics he takes on every day.
Because he takes on things like race and sexuality and stuff that a lot of people cringe at in this super politically correct environment that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he's often, and I don't listen to him anywhere near as much as you do, but he's a voice of reason.
Which could say something about something, but yes.
Yes. He is. He's a voice of reason.
Yeah.
I mean, I catch myself nodding along with him more than I do going, no, that's wrong.
No, I agree. So he's at number four for the last year. A pretty good rise there all of a sudden for him in his first full year of radio, I think. Chris Russo at number three. I don't listen. He's former co-host, obviously, with Mike Francesco, who's out or whatever he's doing now.
Yeah, I don't like anyway. His style. He's very good. He's very informed. He's
it's shock prepared. Jock, though.
Well, he does a baseball show at noon on MLB Radio Network that I listen to sometimes because he gets good guests and he lets them talk. But it's – he's kind of he still has a shock jock voice, even though that show's not shock jock. He's very talented. He's immensely prepared for his interviews.
So two and one. One of them I completely agree with, and one of them I really don't. So here's where we are on two and one. I'll give you the one I don't agree with first. They've got number two still, even after moving networks. Colin Cowherd. And with Colin, used to really like him. Solo radio is potentially one of the hardest things to do in the world, and he does it well. His takes, however, and I don't mean hot, just in general, his thoughts, his opinions, have gotten misinformed, have gotten very subjective to what he thinks his listenership is, have frankly don't show a full understanding of a lot of things. He seems less intelligent on his subjects over the last 24 months to me.
I couldn't agree more. He's like, when you compare him to Russo, he's nowhere near as prepared as Russo. Cowherd does a lot of NBA talk. As you know, I like NBA. I like NBA talk. I think it's the best show on earth in terms of drama and all of those things. And many of his NBA opinions are ill-informed.
Yeah, because he's become fairly stupid when it comes to college football.
Yeah, he's not good at college football at all. He's naive about college football. He's the opposite of Clay Travis, who keeps it real about college football and the challenges that college football faces and what's real about college football. Cowherd is off in la-la land. I think he is probably an example, frankly, of a guy who was in Connecticut at ESPN, worked his ass off. It was cold. He worked. He watched a lot of shows. He's moved out to California. I think he lives in Manhattan Beach. He's got a family. I think he's probably a guy that when he gets off work, kind of goes and hangs out a little bit. I don't blame him. I get it. You only live once. But there's probably less preparation. And like you said, man, I've done a little bit of radio by myself. It is hard. And if you're not like just crazy informed, crazy prepared, it will show. And I think you start to see some of that.
It's knowledge and then timing. Your timing has got to be impeccable. And I mean, comedic timing. I mean, commercial timing, everything. I mean, it's just it is a task. And then number one, and I can't agree more, even though him individually I go back and forth on all the time, is Dan Le Batard, number one, top show in the country for the last year.
I've been telling you that for years. I love his show. It drives other people crazy. It's a great show. Their take on putting sports in perspective it resonates with me and always has. And he will take people on. He took on Rob Manfred the other day about what is happening with the Marlins and how absurd it is to lie about what has happened with the Marlins. And it was, I'll tell you, it was really strong radio. And then he can also be funny. They don't take themselves so seriously. I think if there's a show out there that I wish that I was able to emulate, it's that one. I'm not anywhere near talented enough to pull it off, but, his show's exceptional. Well, and kudos to ESPN, by the way, and I don't say that much, for sticking with him, because a lot of these hardcore sports fans, you know, Billy X and O, the guy that gets in his car and says, I want to talk sports, damn it. That is a niche. Here's the truth. Most people are not hardcore sports fans. Sports are a part of their lives. They're not their whole damn life. And Le Batard connects with those people. They do a lot of pop culture and stuff on their show. They take on social stuff, and they do it well. And I'm surprised that ESPN has stuck with them, because I know they've pissed off enough people to alienate some people, but they have, and that show's really good.
Yeah, I mean, I think the last time you and I were in the car together, something fairly major was going on, maybe in college football, and they were discussing whether certain food items were potato chips.
Yes.
And they did it for almost an hour.
And we laughed. We were laughing in the car.
It was, is it a puff or a chip? Is it a Pringle or a chip? Went through a ton of things. And it was great. I mean, I know we drive people crazy with some similar things, but they were experts at it. It was fantastic. So
yeah, it was great. That's the stuff. I've always said this, you know, you and I had this conversation years ago. I had this conversation in Mobile when I first started radio. And I'll give myself this. I criticize myself a lot. I had really good ratings. I beat Feinbaum consistently. And one of the things I said was, I'm going to do radio like it's a bunch of guys hanging out in a sports bar. And when a bunch of guys sit around at a table or a booth or at the bar, in a sports bar, they don't sit there and talk about, what'd you think about third string tight end? You think he's going to be good? That's not what they do. They talk about life, and they talk about culture, and they talk about what's going on, and they talk about a movie they saw, or you remember that time when, or they talk about their golf game. That's the stuff they talk about. The only time they talk hardcore sports, right, is when there's a Super Bowl like last year where the Patriots come back to beat the Falcons. They're sitting around on Monday after that Super Bowl going, can you believe that call on third down? But for the most part, that's not what a bunch of guys sit around and talk about. They talk about women, and they talk about movies, and they talk about their lives. And if you can ever achieve that on the radio, you will be successful. It's very hard, and a lot of people don't want to open up and do it, and I understand that. But Le Batard's really good. People feel like when they're in the car listening to Le Batard, they feel like they're hanging out at the restaurant or whatnot with Stugatz and Dan and listening to these inane conversations and laughing.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm laughing now thinking about it. He's been great. He's finally getting a lot of recognition, and they've done a heck of a job. So anyway, Ole Miss and Tennessee on Saturday. So we might mention that tomorrow. I don't know. We'll see. On the show, are we talking to Ryan tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll talk to Ryan Brown tomorrow. Come up with something for him as well. Maybe do a little comedy. I might put a couple games together. We're getting into a little bit of a slow time. Baseball does intra-squad, but we're still a couple weeks away from that season opener as well. So we will talk to you tomorrow. Thanks to Jeffrey. Take care.